Father. We give thanks to you, Lord, for you are good and your love never quits. My goodness, we're so grateful for that, Lord God. Father God, we're just so grateful that you never leave us, that you never forsake us. You never relax your hold upon us, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you sent your Son, Jesus, that we may have life and that we may have it abundantly. Hallelujah. We're just so grateful for that. We're just so grateful, Lord God, that, Father God, that, Lord, we're in the living in the dispensation of grace, Father. Father God, we're just so thankful, Father God, that we've been made righteous, that we have right standing with our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. We're just so grateful for the Holy Spirit, the wonderful Holy Spirit, our strengthener, our helper, our encourager. Oh, Lord God, we thank you, Lord, that you definitely are the great I am. You are the awesome and mighty God. That Jesus, you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the name above every name. You are our great High Priest, and you are our Redeemer. And today, Lord, we've come here to declare that our Redeemer lives. Hallelujah. That is why we're here, Lord God, because of Jesus, Lord. And we're just so grateful, Father. We're just so grateful for your word, Father. Your word which is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord God. Father God, your word that gives, as we've heard this morning, gives hope. That your word gives life. That your word is breakthrough, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you that Jesus, your word says you are the word. Hallelujah. And so, Lord, we just give you thanks today, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now I'm in the right headspace. Cool. Well, my word today, and you know, I've been preparing this word, and it's first off, it's part one. I'm going to call this part one today. So it's going to be a series, and it's amazing, like, you know, I've had this word going around in me for a little while. And so really it's just sort of like lined up really good to do the first part, and just like as we've had communion today. And but trying to put this word together, it's just like, sometimes you know when you get those weeks. You get those weeks, eh? And it's like, well, what's going on here? Praise God. But God is good. But God is good. God is good. And I really, like, I just want to come off the back of Richard's message last week. My goodness, Richard, that was fantastic. It's like that word, come and see what God has done. Oh, my goodness. And that comes straight, like, out of your experience of God. And man, that was just so awesome, mate. It was so awesome. I'm going to use one of your scriptures. and Richard shared in Psalm 66:5. It says, come and see what God has done. Come and see what God has done. The New Living Translation says, what awesome miracles he performs. And my goodness, you know, salvation is a miracle, isn't it? Salvation is a miracle. And a lot of people, you know, I look around here today and I know that people have, everyone, we could all put our hands up and say, come and see what God has done. You know, when I think about my life and, you know, yeah, come and see what God has done. Come and see what God has done. And, you know, like, Jesus, you know, when I think about my life and I think about my actual salvation and what God did prior to my actual salvation, and God touched me in a powerful way. It was like, here's my calling card. You know, he healed me while I didn't know him. He healed me. But when I look back now, I could see that I had brushes with Jesus. And what I mean is, I had brushes with Jesus, who God brought into my life and come alongside me for a season in my life. And when I first came to New Zealand to live, the very first person that picked me up from Auckland Airport was a Christian and his uncle. And I never met him before. He took me back to the Bible College in Auckland. And he was studying there at the time. He was telling me about his life and how he'd given up his business to, you know, pursue ministry. And something, you know, there was something about what he did or what he was doing that spoke to me. And so, and then I moved down here and, you know, and I met Annie's cousin, Brendan, and he was a Christian. And I didn't realize it at the time. It's like, you know, I'm having a brush with Jesus. There's all these people coming alongside my life and I'm brushing with Jesus. And then God touched me in such a powerful way and healed me. And a week later, I thought, man, I cannot deny that. And I came to church and I gave my heart to Jesus. And now, I never knew anything about grace. I never knew anything about the blood of Jesus. I didn't know nothing about the Bible. But what I did know was, come and see what God has done. God healed me. God touched my life. And we heard that from Richard last week. You know, even in prison, you know, you were having a brush with Jesus, you know, and God touched his life. Amen. And so in 2 Peter 3:18, it says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. And so when I became a Christian, I started to grow in the grace. I started to grow in the knowledge of God. And to be him the glory, both ever and ever now, forever. Amen. But I grew in grace. And God is good. And I'm ever continuing to grow in grace. Grow in the knowledge of grace. You know, and grow in the knowledge of God. Amen. And so, you know, we have a brush with Jesus. And I just want to share a story. I just want to lay a platform for this message about a certain man who had a brush with Jesus. Okay? And this man is called Barabbas. Okay? And he's just mentioned briefly in the Bible. And his life aligns with Jesus for a small period of time. And I don't have these scriptures, but I just want to outline it. Is that, you know, Jesus, he comes before Pilate, doesn't he? And he's accused of lots of things, but being the Son of God and everything. But he comes before Pilate for judgment. And then you can find this in Luke 23. But in chapter 4, it says, Pilate says to the crowd, because the crowd were baying for Jesus, you know, they were accusing him. But Pilate says, I find no fault in this man. Okay? And then, once again, in verse 14, I'll read the whole verse. You have brought this man to me as one who misleads people. And indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him. Verse 2, nothing deserving of death has been done by him. Verse 23, I have found no reason for death in him. So I've said that to say this. This is an innocent man. Pilate, he's innocent. He's innocent. He can't find no fault in him. He is innocent. But there's another man running alongside Jesus, brushing with Jesus, and his name's Barabbas. Barabbas. Luke 23:19 says, Barabbas has been thrown into prison for insurgents, robbery and murder. And the word of God says he was a notorious prisoner. So he's got a bit of a reputation, eh, Rich? He's got a bit of a reputation. He's a notorious prisoner. And so, I mean, Barabbas really embraced his sin nature. Oh. I mean, he was proud. Man, I'm a sinner, man. You know, he embraced his sin nature. But he was in prison. Now, one of these guys, the crowd, Pilate has to release one. He's declared Jesus, and I add innocent. Innocent. Okay? Now, for the purpose of this message, I want us to jump into Barabbas' shoes. So we're Barabbas, okay? And I just want to go through this. So Barabbas is in prison, in the darkness of four prison walls, okay? Thickened with fear, hurt, and hate, which surrounds us. We're incarnated by our past, our wrong choices, our high-minded pride. We've been found guilty. We sit on the floor of a dusty cell waiting for the final moment. Our executioner's footsteps echo against the stone walls. Our head between our knees, we don't look up as he opens the door. We don't lift our eyes as he begins to speak. We already know what he's going to say. Time to pay for your sins. But then we hear something else. You're free to go. They took Jesus instead. Oh, let that sink in. You're free to go. They took Jesus instead. Suddenly, the prison door swings open and we find ourselves in the light of the morning sun. Shackles gone, crimes pardoned, wondering, what just happened? What just happened? Tell you what, grace happened. Grace happened. Jesus took our sins away. Well, Romans 3, 24 to 25 says, but all are treated as righteous freely by his grace because of a ransom that was paid by Jesus Christ. Through his faithfulness, God displayed Jesus as the place of sacrifice where mercy is found by means of his blood. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness in passing over sins that happened before. Wow, my goodness. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Jesus. Because of Jesus, he freely accepts us and sets us free from our sins. My goodness. No, God sent Christ to be our sacrifice. Amen. Christ offered his blood so that by faith in him, we could come to God. My goodness, it's all about Jesus. Amen. He took man's wrong and put it right. Took man's wrong and put it right. You know, and I just want to share another story that, and I've shared this before in the context of communion, but there's a story behind, I'll share this again, there's a story behind a snapped rope in a museum in Switzerland. Yeah, and, you know, this is in the Matterhorn Museum in Zermatt in Switzerland. And the Matterhorn is a mountain range, and it's between Switzerland and Italy. And so this rope is in a museum, and the story behind it is some climbers who scaled the Matterhorn used it to rope themselves together for the return descent off the mountain, you see. But one climber slipped. Then the other team members, they braced themselves for the tug of this guy who slipped. Okay? So they were linked together. So they braced themselves expecting to halt their companion's fall. But when the tug came, to everyone's horror, the rope snapped. The rope snapped, dragging the others with them and plunging them to their deaths. Okay? Nobody knows why an inferior rope was used. But they know it wasn't genuine alpine rope. It wasn't genuine alpine rope. Because a genuine alpine rope is guaranteed by a red strand that runs right through the middle of it. There's a red strand that runs right through the middle of your life. Amen. And it's the blood of Jesus. There's a red strand. And so there's a lesson here from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. A red strand running through it represents the only thing that can save you, and it's the blood of Jesus. And the Old Testament believers look forward to it. And the New Testament believers, we look back to it, to the cross. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And by trusting in Christ's finished work, we're accepted by God. And it's nothing that we can do. It's what Christ has done for us. Amen. And so there's a red strand. And when I think about it, I think about what you were sharing, Brownie, and I think about my life and the brush with Jesus. Before I was even born, there was a red strand in action. Hallelujah. I was brushing with Jesus while I even didn't know it. Amen. And then I become a Christian. There's a red strand that runs through my life. There's a red strand of grace. There's a red strand of righteousness. Hallelujah. A red strand of salvation. There's a red strand of power. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And so rope gets its strength through the coming together of strands, doesn't it? And we've got the Father, and we've got the Son, and we've got the Holy Spirit. And the red strand in our lives, it all strands together. Amen. And the red strand is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The red strand, my goodness, the red strand doesn't break. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. And I looked up the meaning for strand, as I do. Okay. And so one of the meanings is one of the elements interwoven in a complex whole. And so the red strand of the blood of Jesus, it's interwoven in the complexity of our lives. Amen. It's interwoven through your trials that you go through. Hallelujah. It's interwoven, my goodness, the red strand, it's through your life. No, I think about that scripture, and I might use it next time. Okay. I won't use that next time. But, you know, but another definition of strand is a strand of DNA, a thread. And so if you heard that in that context, a strand of DNA, when they're giving evidence, there was a strand of DNA. Amen. And so there's a red strand that runs through the core of your life, and it's the blood of Jesus. And now when I think about, you know, the red strand, it represents power. Amen. But when I think about the red strand of DNA, I think about the blood speaks. The blood speaks. When you're thinking of it as evidence. Eh? And so DNA, I just want to talk about DNA for a moment. Today, forensic science tells us that blood has a voice. Blood has a voice. DNA can be extracted from one just small drop of blood, murderer's blood, and the results used in court as evidence. So in a sense, blood can speak. And when it's the blood of Jesus, it speaks better things. Amen. The blood of Jesus speaks forgiveness of our sins. The blood of Jesus speaks healing for our bodies, peace for our minds, hallelujah. It cries out protection for our comings in and our goings out, amen. It speaks better things. It speaks good success for our works of our hands, hallelujah. The blood of Jesus, it speaks freedom, amen. It speaks freedom. The blood of Jesus speaks grace. The blood of Jesus speaks grace. Thank you, Lord. And our lives are based on this truth. 1 John 1:17 says, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our sin. My goodness, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus, amen? What he did on the cross. He redeemed us from the law, sin and death. He made us righteous. We got right standing with our Heavenly Father. My goodness, there's a red strand that runs through our life. The blood speaks on our behalf, you know. And, you know, when condemnation comes in, man, you go to grace. You go to that red strand and you speak. We speak the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. The blood speaks. Amen. And so, like I said, when I became a Christian, all I knew is I'd been touched by God. But then I started to learn about grace. And I really believe that there's a move of the Holy Spirit. That that faith, with man, there's freedom in this. That when faith and grace align, when faith and grace align, and that you have faith in the grace that we're covered by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And, you know, if Jesus didn't do another thing, he did enough 2,000 years ago when he said, it is finished. Amen. Amen. And he brought us into the dispensation of grace. Thank you, Lord. And so Jesus says, I'm on a journey with you. And there's a red strand that runs through your life. Amen. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm on this journey with you. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Wow. The NIV says, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. With confidence. That we're confident in what God has said he has done. Amen. What God has said he has done. There's grace and mercy to meet your needs, amen. There is power. There is power in the word. There's power in the blood of Jesus to change any situation or circumstance. Amen. No, there is no life that Jesus can't turn around. There's no life that Jesus can't turn around. There's no addiction that God can't set you free from. Hallelujah. There's power in the blood. My goodness. And Jesus is reaching out to you. Jesus is reaching out to a lost and dying world. You know, there's a red strand that's flowing through. Even out there now, look, people have been brushing with Jesus. The word of God says, one sows, one waters, one reaps. You know, there's the seed of the word of God that's gone into people's lives. You know, and it's like I had an opportunity on Friday. I had to do an expo up in Levin, but when I was coming back, I was with a person in the car, and she said, oh, what are you up to this weekend? I said, well, actually, I'm preaching. Perfect timing. It's all fresh in my head. I just put this message together, and so I just went, boom. You know, it's like, you know, you're going 100 k's and you can't get out the door. It's like, no, don't pull over. But, you know, one sows, one waters, one reaps. And I was able to sow. I was able to sow the goodness of God, the love of God, and what God had done in my life. Come and see what the Lord has done. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. And so, faith and grace align. I'm excited. I'm excited for what the Holy Spirit is doing. And, you know, I'm excited for what the Holy Spirit is doing. See, there's a red strand that runs through the Word of God. And it's no coincidence that Jesus' words are in red. And when my very first Bible, the page mark, you know, it was red. And so it's like, I got that revelation. It's like, oh, red strand. You know, there's a red strand that runs through the Word of God. But my goodness, what an important job the Holy Spirit has today. And for us to work with the Holy Spirit, alongside the Holy Spirit, to be led by the Holy Spirit, to listen what God is saying through the Holy Spirit. And I believe, and I'm excited for us as a church, I'm excited for us as a body of Christ, but I'm excited for us as a church and what the Holy Spirit has spoken into this church. Amen. And so, the Holy Spirit, you know, he can take the word and supernaturally impart life into a situation. Amen. The Holy Spirit can take a word which can ignite revival and resurrection. Amen. And I feel that like we're on the cusp of, we're in a move of the Holy Spirit. You feel that? We had the word from Fergus years ago, an imminent move of the Holy Spirit. You know, and the devil's not going to take that lying down. There's been some resistance, you know, to that word. But as a church, we've stood on that word. Holy Spirit gave a word. We've stood on that word. And we're in a move of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And we're on a journey of where the Holy Spirit is taking us to. Okay? And so the Holy Spirit can take a word and bring breakthrough. Holy Spirit can take a word, give a word, and bring breakthrough to every area of our lives, to our church and any situation or circumstance. Jeremiah says 23:29, is not my word like a fire? Is not my word like a fire? Holy Spirit can give a word right through someone and set fire. Hallelujah. And like a hammer that breaks the rock into pieces. Why is that? It's because there is a red strand that runs through the word. And a prophet can come into the house and give a word of prophecy. But there's a red strand that runs through that word of prophecy. You see, because the Holy Spirit is to take what he hears from the Father, takes what's of Jesus to speak it. And there's a red strand that runs through the word, because Jesus is still speaking today. Amen. And we'll get there. We'll get there. So, when Jesus walked the earth, it says that the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Wouldn't that have been awesome? You know, there's Jesus. Jesus is the word. The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. One day, you know, you could be sitting down there fishing, you know. Jesus comes and sits next to you. How you going, you know? And this is like the word of God. And when Jesus spoke, it must have been like, oh, just such power, life-giving. And my goodness, people were just blown away. He spoke with authority. He spoke healing. He spoke, you know, Jesus, he would come up and, you know, he was an encourager. He was a strengthener. You know, he showed compassion. And it just all just permeated. The God permeated out of his pores. And so can you imagine that when Jesus, though the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us? So I want to just go to the Emmaus Road. I'll take you to the Emmaus Road. And so this is after the crucifixion. Then Jesus comes back and he appears to two of his disciples. Okay? He appears to two of his disciples. Okay? I'll get back to the Holy Spirit's role in a sec. He appears to two of his disciples. In Luke 24:27, and so Jesus is on the road of the Emmaus Road, and he starts walking and spending time with a couple of his disciples. So Luke 24:27, it says, then Jesus quoted them passage after passage from the writings of the prophets, beginning with the book of Genesis and going right through the scriptures, explaining what the passages meant and what they said about himself. Jesus opened up the whole New Testament, the Old Testament, and showed his two disciples what the whole New Old Testament said about himself. Well, that's some Bible study. Hey, that is some Bible study. You sit down with Jesus. And he showed them. He showed them everything, the red strand that flowed through the Old Testament that led him to himself, you see. Because it's all about Jesus. And when we read the Bible and we're looking for Jesus, and I encourage you, read the Bible, look for Jesus in the Bible. Right through the Old Testament leads to Jesus. Hallelujah. Like I said, there's a red strand from Genesis to Revelation. And it has one grand theme. Our Lord Jesus Christ and his perfect sacrifice. Amen. Anyway, Jesus opened up the scriptures and he's sharing this with his two disciples and they're captivated. Okay? And then Luke 24, 32 says, then they turned to each other and they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? Then verse 31, it says, their eyes were opened. So it's like revelation. They actually had revelation of the Old Testament, of leading to the cross and Jesus. Hallelujah. Their eyes were opened. And so there's a red strand of revelation. And so the word reaches into the heart of man. Hallelujah. The word reached into the heart of those disciples. And their eyes were opened. Okay? And it speaks to the deep places in your life. And so, but spending time with Jesus, these two disciples spent time with Jesus. Can you imagine, like, spending time with Jesus? Man, that would ignite some passion, wouldn't it? You know, in the fire of the Holy Spirit. Man, they would have generated a love and a passion for Jesus on those two disciples. It says, oh, did not our hearts burn within us? Amen. And so the altar is where the fire burns. Amen. Fire on the altar of the human heart. But there is a move. Let's get back to the Holy Spirit. There's a move of the Holy Spirit to reveal the glory of the finished work of Jesus Christ. We're in it. There's a work of the Holy Spirit to reveal the finished work of the cross, to reveal his goodness, to reveal his grace, to reveal his love to mankind. Now I want to go to the Holy Spirit. And this is Jesus' words. And then when Jesus, he was about to depart, he was preparing his disciples, he was preparing the people, and he's saying, I must go that the Holy Spirit may come. Hallelujah. And then Jesus says in John 16, 7, we don't have this one, but nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. But listen to this. Out of all the things Jesus said and are documented in the Word of God, you know, out of all the things that has been said and has been written down and documented, Jesus says, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, no, sorry, back up. John 16, 12. I still have many things to say to you. So now we're going down, when we're thinking about ICFM coming up, the topic is prophecy, eh? Prophetic, the prophetic, the prophetic. Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you. And through the prophetic, he said many things, hasn't he? We've had prophets come through, like Ferguson. He said many things through prophets, through the prophetic. There's a red strand. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them. Another version says you are not ready for them now. So there's times and seasons that we're ready for them. Amen. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. So the Holy Spirit, what the Father is speaking, what Jesus is saying, he's taking of what is God, of what is Jesus, and he's speaking them through men and women today and through the Spirit of God. Verse 14, he will glorify me. He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Another version says, he shall praise me and bring me great honor by showing you my glory. And so we're in a move of the Holy Spirit that he is honoring Jesus and showing us his great glory. And there's what I believe we're moving into a time of unveiling. We're moving into a time of unveiling. And the Holy Spirit is revealing and honoring Jesus. He's glorifying Jesus. And we're going to see Jesus glorified in the earth today. Amen. Jesus will be glorified in people's lives. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And as the Holy Spirit unveils Jesus and his glory, man, I tell you what, yeah, whoa, it's going to get the spiritual hormones bubbling. You know, now we're going to be in meetings and, man, the old spiritual hormones are going to be bubbling because the Holy Spirit is revealing Jesus in all his glory. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. In fact, we won't be able to sit down. We'll be up and down and running around. You know, the spiritual hormones can't be contained. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And so there's a move of the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, I've said that to say this, guys. Let's open up our eyes. Let's open up our ears to what the Holy Spirit is doing amongst us. Amen. So, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, now the blood speaks relationship. I'm just going to close here. The blood speaks relationship. You know, the red strand is a difference between religion and relationship. The red strand is a difference between religion and relationship. The red strand, it's of unconditional love. Amen. And God has a plan, and it's only complete when it reaches the heart of man. You see. And in John 3:16, it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And how do we do that? That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Man, that is the miracle of God. That is the miracle, you know, of 91. You know, I set Jesus into my heart, and I can remember that day in the Hatfield rooms, and you know, and my goodness, it's just like that is the red strand, that is the grace of God, and that is what's reaching out to every human being. Amen. The goodness of God. For God so loved the world, he wants a relationship with you. He's got nothing but good for you. Amen. 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 Praise you, Jesus. But having said that, there's something that's been going around, the sound been going around in my head. Like a word, it's a short word. And I think this is for us as a church. It says, there's been a crushing and there's been a pressing. But now, enter new wine. There's been a crushing, there's been a pressing, but now enter new wine. With new wine, there is new power. With new wine, there is new freedom. New wine, new life, new wine, new fire. And I believe there's been a crushing, there's been a pressing, but we're entering new wine. Amen. So something for us to be excited about. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So, Father God, we just give you thanks, Father. We give you thanks for your goodness, for your love, for your grace, and for your tender mercies, Lord God. We give you thanks for your word and how you never leave us nor forsake us, Father. And I just thank you for every single person here, Father. I just thank you, Father God, that, Lord, that you would just touch them with your love. Touch them with your grace, Father God. Touch them, Father God, with your, with your wonderful, grace, Father. I just thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, you may be sitting here today, and you may know Jesus, you may not know Jesus, but if there is something tugging at your heart today, if you've known him and maybe fallen away for whatever reason, there's the love of God reaching out to you. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, my goodness, the love of God is reaching out to you. And if that's you, then, man, I would just love to speak to you as I close the service and lead you in a prayer. Hallelujah. But other than that, Lord, we just thank you, Father, for your goodness, Father. Just thank you for your goodness, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, guys,